Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the world-famous Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as seven other video platforms, including YouTube and iTunes and all those other places where all our recorded podcasts and videocasts are saved for your later on-demand listening pleasure, including, of course, our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And if that's too hard to remember, try davethecaregiver.com. That new domain. And our goal here is to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today. My lovely co-host Adrian is normally here, but she's a little under the weather. So my other lovely co-host, Linda Bice, is here to take her place. Say hello, Linda.
Hello, Dave. How are you today?
Oh, she sounds wonderful, doesn't she? Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. Now, today we'll be interviewing Camille Supersun, author of Essential Resource Guide for Caregivers, showing you how to save time and money and finding important, hard-to-find free resources. So stay tuned. You will not want to miss this show. She's an amazing person, wrote an amazing book. I learned so much, and you're going to love this. She is now our official go-to person. When anyone asks me, how can I get Medicare to pay this, and how do I get Medicaid to pay that, and where can I find respite help? And just there's this book is filled with a zillion questions and, more importantly, a zillion answers. So you're going to have a great time today. I'm your host, Dave Nassani. The show's caregivers are every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring and selfless and sacrificial souls, but they have this tiny little problem. The tiny little problem is called burnout. Actually, it's not a tiny little problem. I was kidding. But we can learn something from the airlines, including, you know, United, who drags people off their planes, because they tell us in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you attempt to help your loved one with their mask. Why do they tell us that? That sounds like the most selfish thing in the world that a parent can do to their kid, right? I mean, imagine the plane's going down, everyone's screaming, your little bundle of joy is gasping for breath. Whose mask are you going to put on first, huh? Well, you know, the airlines know so well that if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved one, you will most likely black out. And then you won't be of any good to anybody with anything, including your little bundle of joy there. And caregivers are the same way. We've got to learn a lesson. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. Anytime we suffer a loss, you know, we lose a girlfriend, we lose our health, we lose a spouse, we go through a grief process. It could take days or weeks or months or years. You may never get over it. Everyone is different. Unfortunately, there is only one way out of the grief process, and you got to go through it. So we don't want you to go through grief the rest of your life for 20 or 30 or 40 years or even 1 year. We want you to go through it as quickly as possible. And if you kind of feel like you're stuck in the grief process, then, you know, we want to help you. So, hey, now I want to take this time and thank my last week's guest, caregiver advocate, blogger, and trained caregiver support group, Bobby Carducci. It was a great interview, and you can listen to that interview and all of our interviews, including this one, at our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S.com, because I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver. You see how that goes? Okay. And speaking of caregivers and books, I'm so excited that our long-awaited third book is getting closer and closer to becoming a reality. The pre-purchase process is approaching soon, and I know you will all want to pre-purchase your copy. It's called It's My Life Too, When to Say Yes and When to Say No and Reclaiming Your Caregiver Sanity. And our goal is to pre-sell 10,000 books to our caregiver followers. Gosh, we have almost 34,000 on Facebook alone. Is that enough to qualify for the New York Times bestselling list? I don't know. I hope so. But only have that goal because we want that message to get out there to a bigger audience. You know, that it's okay to put your needs first. It's okay to say it's my life too. If you go down, you know, we all go down. So believing with your help and God's help, it's not only possible, it's very probable that we'll do that and we'll get that done. All right, enough of that. A very big welcome to Linda Bice, my lovely co-host, and a big welcome to our guest, Camille Superson. Welcome to the show, Camille. You can unmute yourself now. That would be the time, yes. And thanks so much for agreeing to this interview today. I'm so excited to have you on.
Well, I'm excited to be here.
Oh, good. I like it when everybody's excited. Why don't you take a minute or two and just introduce yourself? I like to ask my guests, just who is Camille Superson and why was she put on this earth?
Well, basically, I started off my professional career as a pharmacist, as a registered pharmacist. And then I worked in hospital and retail environments for over 10 years. And then I became a chiropractor. I went back to school. And I had a very unusual, holistic, comprehensive clinic in Chicago, the Chicago suburbs. And then that was brought to a abrupt halt when I, too, became a caregiver. And I became a caregiver to both of my parents for over a decade. Wow. So that's a Cliff's Notes version of who I am.
Wow. So you were a chiropractor, huh?
Still am.
Still am. Oh, wow. Well, I wanted to ask you, we've got so many questions here that we normally don't ask this many questions. So we got to be real efficient and get to all of them. I don't want to miss a single question because they're all so important. So tell me, how long were you a family caregiver and how did that happen? Just a little, I know you just touched on it, but it's important to know, you know, what you were thinking when you were thrust into that caregiver situation and how you handled it. Did you get burned out? How quickly did that happen? How'd you get out of it? You know, just kind of briefly.
I, like most many caregivers out there, I was totally unprepared and it happened very suddenly because my mother had a stroke. So one moment she was fine, one moment she was not. So yeah, I was living in Illinois. My parents were living in Michigan. So it started off that I would go Friday through Sunday and I would spend time in Michigan helping. And then I would go back and forth. Then my mother lived with me for about a year and a half. And then she went back to Michigan. And then very shortly thereafter, my father developed leukemia. And I went down thinking that it might be a short term. And I never went back. I just became an instant, full-time, 24/7 caregiver.
That is such a common story, isn't it, Linda?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It's like they were drafted into the army. They were drafted into caregiving. And it's like, did I sign up for this? I don't remember signing the form. I don't remember getting this training in high school. You know, I know I went to home ec. They taught me how to make a grilled cheese sandwich. I don't starve, but they didn't tell me how to be a caregiver, which incidentally, you know, they should add that to the curriculum. Don't you think so?
No kidding.
That's true.
Yeah.
You should.
Because how many of us literally have just become caregivers through default? I mean, one time.
More.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always like to say.
I call it on-the-job training.
I always like to say there's three kinds of people in the world. There's caregivers, and then there are those who are going to become caregivers, and then there's those who are going to need a caregiver. So, I mean, that covers the whole gambit. Already got a third of the population's caregivers. So Camille wrote this amazing book. It is like 242 pages. It's an encyclopedia of essential resources, things that you need, things that you didn't know existed, things that normally cost you money that are now you discover are free. Respite care. I mean, we get so many questions on, you know, what can I do? I have no help. My siblings all have deserted me. I'm here all alone. I lost my job. I lost my health. I can't go to the gym and all of that stuff. And you've got most of those questions answered in here. So let's just talk about some of the products and services that can be really hard to find that, you know, if you do an internet search and stuff, you just give up out of frustration, but they're in here. So you've spent like three years of your life finding this stuff out. And I just have to give you kudos because most people would just give up if they can't find something. But no, you're like a bulldog who won't let go of that bone, you know?
Well, you know, people don't understand also that caregivers, the average family caregiver, spend 11 to 13 hours a month searching for information. That doesn't mean they find it. That means they're looking. That adds up, if you ever add that up, that adds up to 3.5 to 4.5 work weeks a year. Wow. That's more than people get vacation time off just looking for information.
That's amazing.
And what makes it so difficult for people to find information is because they're called by unusual names that don't necessarily correlate to what they're related to. That's typical in the government, whether it's local or whether it's federal. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that in multiple different areas where that happens. Also, people don't realize that there's a lot of things that they can be compensated for and have the expenses all paid. They don't even consider that would be something that they would even look into because it doesn't seem that it would be.
It sounds too good to be true. I mean, why would the government pay for someone to come and help me out when I'm burned out? I mean, that just doesn't seem rational or logical, even though it seems like it should happen and it should be fair. But I would guess that the government, many times maybe they're instructed, don't advertise this. You know, yeah, this is available, but we don't want anyone to know. I mean, that's possible, right?
Absolutely. And that brings to mind is the government hiding things from us. And I know at the beginning,
don't get me started on that.
I know, but I asked myself the question as I was a caregiver in the past, and I would get this information from strangers on the street. I would get it for somebody who was diligently looking for information for me, and they were not the government. They were not the motor vehicles department. They were not anybody who should be providing this information to me. So at first I thought, is this something that might be just coincidental or is it real? And then as I was going through the book and I heard this time and time again that people were struggling with getting information, I decided to play the typical person who was looking for information. And I would call, knowing full well what I was calling for, and I would call different government agencies. And one in particular I want to share, because there's many, is Medicare. I called Medicare pretending that I was a friend of someone who qualified for one of the programs that's called Extra Help. And Extra Help and other programs will help you with your the deductible from your Social Security check that you pay toward the Medicare premium and deductibles from your drugs, etc. And I found out that I called and I said, why is it that my friend, basically, you have all her information, you have her income, you have everything there because you're a federal agency. Why is it nobody told her? And they told me, and I called twice, two different times, two different people, same question. And they said, we do not proactively offer this information to people unless they specifically ask for it. And I said, how can they ask for it if they don't even know what to ask for? So, yes, the government is not our buddies.
You know, let's talk about veterans. Everyone loves the veterans, and we know they all got the short end of the stick. And there's a lot of veteran caregivers, and there's a lot of veterans who caregivers are taking care of. And they're often denied benefits, which is amazing. But, you know, if you're an immigrant coming in here without permission, you usually get everything. So, I mean, you know, what's wrong with this picture? So What do they need to know to begin receiving their benefits?
There is an organization right now that is helping veterans obtain denied benefits and benefits that they and their spouses are entitled to, that they have been wrongly denied, and they have taken upon themselves. They're a pro bono group of lawyers that literally will take these cases on, and they have successfully implemented multiple class action suits, and they have already retrieved over $3 billion in lost revenue for these vets and their spouses that they were denied. That's one. One of the biggest benefits that vets are not even told, and if you were a veteran prior to the Gulf War, many vets qualify for this benefit. And statistically, they said between 78 and 83% of the veterans are not told about this benefit. And it is called aid in attendance. Aid in attendance basically can supply up to about $2,800. That's the top. Every month for any expenses that they have, whether that expense be medical, assisted living, caregiving, food, it doesn't matter. They receive this benefit, and there are stipulations and qualifications like everything else, right?
And however, you can even be the spouse of a veteran and be qualified. I know when my mother was going into assisted living, that was one of the benefits that was available to her because her husband was a vet. He had died like 20 years ago, and they would have paid for her assisted living.
Exactly. And these people don't know. They don't have a clue, and they're not even told. And okay. I also supply the phone number and the website for the pro bono attorneys, too, for everybody to contact.
Now, you mentioned family members can now actually get paid to care for a fellow family member. What do they need to do?
Effective June 2015, there has been a national, all across the nation, 49 states now will allow a family member to take care of a family member, a fellow family member. And it's usually an adult child will take care of a parent, for example. The exception being if you were the spouse of a veteran, you are allowed to collect and receive money for caregiving your husband, which is not always the case, but it can be, depending on what state you live in. So there are now four different ways that people can get paid in order to be compensated financially for caregiving a loved one. And it used to be only, and it was very limited to a very small amount of states, through Medicaid waiver was one. That's the most common. You have non-Medicaid, you have Veterans Administration areas too. Mm-hmm. And plus you can also implement your life insurance policy in order to take care of a, And what's even more important is on the books, people need to be very proactive in contacting their congressman regarding there is a Paid Family Leave Act that has been on the books that need to be passed in Congress. And what that will allow is up to 12 weeks of paid partial payment of their wages. Usually it's at least 50 to 55% of their wages, up to 90% for 12 weeks, paid leave time off.
Is that going to be funded similar to unemployment insurance, half employer, half employee?
Sometimes it just depends. They're talking about various ways. Yes, there's multiple ways that they're thinking about doing it. Right now, there are four states that are not waiting. They know the importance of having employees that are fresh and not stressed out. And if you live in Rhode Island, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., or California, you already have this on the books from a state level that they've implemented. It's only up to 6 weeks because the federal bill has not been passed, but at least it's something that these people can get right now today.
Yeah.
So that's another.
Let's move on. We've got so many questions. Before the show, you and Linda were talking about something that she didn't know about. So let's discuss that. Tell us again what that was, Linda. You were talking about you have hours earned of respite, and they weren't giving you the hours because they said they just don't have it available. And Camille says, oh, no, no.
We have been okay for 49 hours a week, but we rarely get close to that. There is a shortage in nursing care, and it's plus the nurses that we have outside jobs. They have other jobs. So it's like we are on the back burner. You know, if they can't work, they take their other jobs first, and then we get what's left over. But you said something that I didn't realize, that we could be getting nursing care from two different agencies at the same time. So that's something,
yes,
I definitely want to check in.
Right. And what you do need to do is make sure that you voice your discontent with what's happening and say, okay, if this one can't supply it, there are multiple others that can supply this care. Multiple others.
Because and they then get paid from the government, right? It's not like they're just giving away free services, right?
Right. They're getting paid.
Yeah. So you're taking money away from them. Say, hey, if you can't do it, I'll find someone who can.
Yeah. And not only that, if you need help, you need to also, if they're giving you a song and dance on whether or not they're going to supply you with a nurse, ask them also, okay, if you don't have a nurse right now until you get them, whatever agencies you're getting them from, say, I need someone. I need rest. I need somebody to come in who, and you can have, in Arizona, you have certified caregivers. You have, you know, that also can come in. You have the CNAs. You have different medical professionals that can also come in and kind of fill in the gap and give you a break.
Right.
You know?
That's something I definitely need to check in on.
Yeah.
And one of my other pet peeves is I am usually going 90 miles an hour all the time. And the nurses come in and they sit. And that drives me insane, you know? And I have gone so far as to make a list of everything I want done that day. Maybe two or three things will be checked off.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to come across as like, hey, I want you to do this. And I want, you know, I don't want to be mean or anything like that. But I've been trying to find nice ways to say, this is what I want done while
the nice way basically is before they ever come in, you have your checklist and you go over it with the agency or whoever is providing you with the help. And you say, this is what I need done. This is what I need done twice a week, once a week, yep, however you want that done. Are you going to be able to provide that for me? And what did they say?
And remove all the chairs in the house.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We do keep the electricity turned off on the television. But I made out a whole list Monday through Friday. Well, actually Sunday through Saturday, and sent that to the agency before they sent the nurses here. So they definitely already have a checklist. And
what about you also get a caregiver that comes in, a paid caregiver that comes in?
That's what they are. They're actually nurses' aides.
Okay.
Who it is.
A caregiver and a nurse's aide are two different things. Okay. In their structure. So what you might want to do is ask them, can you supply me with a caregiver? And the caregiver, you know, when I was writing the book, I went out there and became a caregiver through agencies and things because I wanted to know what it was like out there. And it is sometimes a joke. All right. And believe me, I had jobs to do, from washing dishes to helping clean to changing beds to, I mean, there was a list. So again, be vocal if you usually set the parameters before you start, that's probably the best way. And then after they're gone, you can say, this wasn't done. Can you tell me why? I need to know why.
Can she share like 20 hours of caregiving and 20 hours of nurse's aid? Is that allowed? Or is
anything
it 40 hours of care and 40
anything
hours of nurse's
allowed.
Aid?
Anything is allowed depending on the situation. This situation that Linda has presented, that is for one person to take care of that, it's asking almost the impossible. And we're talking, I know what it's like to take care of somebody 24/7, where they rely on you for everything. And it is not humanly possible. That is why 30 to 40% of caregivers die before the people they're taking care of, because they're not being taken care of either on their own or through the agencies that are supposed to be supplying the care.
Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. This is a great discussion and we've got a lot to talk about, so don't go away.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy!
And we're back with Linda Bice and Camille Superson. And girls, we have about 25 minutes to go, and I've got 9 questions, so that means we've got to spend no more than 2 minutes on each question, because I don't want to miss any of these questions because they're so, so important. I mean, everybody's got to get the book because there's no way we can cover this whole book. And at the end, we'll tell you how you can get your copy. Now, people spend a lot of money on prescription drugs, even if they have insurance. How can they reduce those costs or even get their medication free?
Okay. First of all, if you have insurance, don't always think that that is the best price that you are going to get your prescriptions for. Because often, even with your deductible and co-insurance, whatever the co-payment is, that is often more expenses than you can get them out in the open. You can, if you have generic drugs, for example, you can pay cash prices through the $4, the $10 programs that are available in many different pharmacies for generics that are more often than not cheaper than your deductible and your co-payment on your prescription drug plan. Number two, there are free drugs available everywhere from the independent drug companies, and there are programs through government agencies, federal agencies, etc. And you do not have to be a pauper. You do not have to be indigent. You can have incomes $45,000, $50,000, and you still qualify for these free drugs. Okay, that's another one.
Wow.
Probably the best sleeper is prescription discount cards. Many people don't even know they exist. The book is loaded with different prescription discount cards that you can check. And if you check the prices, every drug that you are on from every different prescription drug card, it will tell you how much you will pay for the drug at any given pharmacy in your area. And many times those are discounted deeper than your insurance.
Wow, awesome. And you did it in 2 minutes. Amazing. Now, you say that you can receive free food even if they don't qualify for food stamps. How can they do that?
Okay.
Who doesn't want free food?
No kidding. We do not have a food problem here in this country. We have a food distribution problem in this country. If you knew how much food is literally thrown into the landfills,
wow,
it would make you crazy. Because when you think about produce, or especially produce, fresh food, all the food that is rejected from the grocery stores is stuffed into the landfills. And what ends up happening is if you look in the grocery store, all the bananas are perfect, all the apples are perfect, all the everything is like perfect size. Carrots are the same size, same fit.
That.
Yeah, and they don't grow that way. So anything that doesn't fit that model gets thrown out. In Arizona, there are two fabulous people that started something. They were horrified when they found that out, especially with so many people needing food, that they formed a nonprofit called the 3000 Club, and a subsidiary of that is called Market on the Move. And for $10, people can go on the weekend during November to May, and they get 60 pounds plus of produce for $10. All these things.
It's like a free farmer's market, huh?
Yep.
Amazing.
So there is all over the country. And just to let you know, as I found this out and as I was sharing this with people that I knew from California, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Arizona, just for a few, they were amazed. They go, because I said, go look. And it's the same thing. They go there, and when they are even afraid sometimes to take too much food, thinking that they might look like little piglets, they go, please take it. If you don't take it, we throw it away.
Wow.
So there is food everywhere for people.
Now, this one doesn't sound like a big deal, but it can be, because most people don't know they can receive deep discounts on the cost of license plates and can even get them free if they qualify. How?
That is probably the best kept secret of anything that's in the book, because nobody will tell you about that. And in a nutshell, every single state will offer some discount on license plates and registration when you do it every year. Anything from totally free, as in Arizona, all the way to a portion thereof, depending on the state. You do have to meet qualifications. Usually it's a senior, a disabled person, but it will seniors obtain a lot of this type of help. In Michigan, 50% off the license plates, whatever that is. In Illinois, it's a flat $24. And like I said, in Arizona, it's free. If you are a vet, vets will pay anywhere from totally free to a portion of the plate to a portion of the registration. And oftentimes the vets don't pay more than about $15 total. So there you must ask for it. My situation, again, total stranger told me about this. After 7 years, I went into the motor vehicles department. I said, I would like my discount. And the woman goes, okay. I go, what do you mean, okay? 7 years I come here. Nobody tells me about this. And she said to me, you never asked. And I said, how am I supposed to ask if nobody even knows this exists? All right. So think about that. Like in Michigan, if you kept your receipts, you can present them and get reimbursed too. So if any of you, yeah. So
I've got two registration renewals sitting on the counter right now. And, you know, in California, some of these can be expensive, two or three or 100 or more, depending on the car you have. Anyway, next question. There are even ways to receive free help with minor home repairs. Wow, that sounds good to me. That's a good thing to know. Who do they contact for that?
Usually it's local. It's usually the county. The county, sometimes the state, but it'll be your county or your city. And you contact them and they will have different programs available to take care of minor home repairs inside and outside the home. Outside, it could be things like shoveling snow, cutting the grass, and you just have to pay for the cost of the gasoline, you know, to run the machines. Inside the home, they will provide, they can provide anything from windows to caulking to, what do you call that? When you winterize a home, sometimes they can even do, depending on your income, et cetera, a new roof, et cetera. These programs are either called chore programs or home chore programs in general. And they may vary.
So it can qualify for condos as well, right? Linda, I bet you've got some repairs that are piling up, yes?
Well, do you know what went through my mind is so many of these seniors that I deliver Meals on Wheels to, and I walk into some homes that it absolutely breaks my heart. And I mean, one lady, her home looks like it's under construction, but it's not. I mean, oh, it breaks my heart. But that this is, you know, I'm like, whoa, if I can get in touch with this group or these groups and send them to, there's no telling how many.
It's all in the book. You'll get that information. Yeah. And just so you know, inside the home, when I was taking care of my mom and found out about this, of course, years later, but we were able to utilize some of that. Fortunately, we knew about it beforehand. For the inside of the house, we had a $200 line of credit. It wasn't money, but it was a line of credit for anything that needed to be repaired. Somebody would come into the house once a year, check everything to make sure the electrical, the furnace, everything was in working order. They also gave us one free hot water heater every 2 years. And what was ironic is we were on the program for maybe 2 months and the water heater blew and we got it for free and didn't pay a thing. Man. You didn't know that, right? I know. These things are out there and people have no idea.
What if you're in an apartment? Does it have to be a home or something?
But it does. It has to be something you own. Okay. And many of these are.
Otherwise, you got to tell the landlord. Landlord is supposed to do it. I know I used to Section 8. You know, Linda, it sounds like you're describing a Section 8 rental. And, you know, every year they're supposed to be inspected and they're supposed to fix everything. But, you know, the government isn't up on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And Linda, Section 8 housing, I found out this. Section 8 housing is actually a good thing because the government forces the renter and the owner
That's
to
right.
be on top of it. You have to be a good tenant.
If they're doing their job, landlord. Yes.
And it has to be lovely or they kick you out.
Right.
So, yes, they need to fix it. That's part of the deal here.
Now, service dogs. I'll go ahead, Linda, finish that.
Oh, I was just saying it would blow your mind to see all these homes that I go into, the shape that they're in. So, yeah. We're starting tomorrow to do that for some of them.
I used to own an apartment building in Nashville that was like right next to the projects, and the condition, they were mostly Section 8, and the condition that they were in was amazing. And once a year, you know, they'd fix it all up, and, you know, these tenants weren't the greatest. And in 1 year, they can, like, trash the place, and it, like, like they didn't do anything a year later. Anyway, talking about free service dogs, you know, what's the importance of a service dog? You know, are they really that important? Can an emotional service animal really help, make a caregiver's job easier by kind of being a babysitter to the patient, depending on their
situation? Well, it actually makes the patient better and helps them with recovery as well. When I first learned about service dogs, like most people, I thought service dogs were the people that they were caring for were people that were in wheelchairs that couldn't get around. They would help with, you know, some of the chores in the home. Or I came from Michigan where they trained these seeing eye dogs, you know, where you have somebody on the street and they're guided so they can become independent. Well, what I found out, again, by writing the book and researching, is there are so many ailments from anything. If you have chronic diseases or autoimmune diseases, or if you have MS and Parkinson's and diabetes and panic attacks and autism or ADD or... oh my goodness, the list goes on. What do you call that? Post-traumatic stress disorder, everything. You will qualify for these animals.
I saw a Facebook post the other day. It was an electronic animal that looked real, and they used them for dementia patients, and they were really responding well. And, you know, maybe they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to take care of a real dog, so they make these animated dogs. And so I don't know if they would pay for that, but that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question. People do die, and even though it's a topic avoided, you can get help with funeral costs, yes?
Absolutely. Again, another thing I didn't know when I was a caregiver either. An average person will save $3,000 to $5,000 right off the top on any funeral costs that they have. And I explain everything in the book, what you do, how to approach the funeral director, things to avoid. The largest expense in any funeral, any wake, any funeral, is the casket. And I show you places where you can get discounted caskets. Same places that the funeral homes buy the caskets from.
You eliminate the middleman.
Absolutely. And there is a law that the funeral director of the funeral home, they cannot refuse you. So it's an actual law that they have to do it. And the best thing is, though, and I give you all the secrets what to do, you don't tell them up front that you have this, because what they can do very easily is pad the rest of your bill. And I go through a methodical step-by-step on how you do this so you save a tremendous amount of money.
Great, great, great. Now, caregivers can lose up to $750,000 over a lifetime, $750,000. How?
Yeah, or more.
That's
an average. Yes, wow. It does. And most caregivers, when they're caring for a loved one, not only are they depleting the funds of the loved one, they're also putting money out from their own pockets to also help with the expenses. Everybody knows that. If they're working, if they ever worked full-time, part-time, but especially full-time, you are going to lose so many in so many different ways that you never thought about. One of the biggest ways is your retirement Social Security check, because everything you contribute, you're going to get less and less money down the road. if you are getting a 401k, if you're getting any type of pension program, if you're getting stocks and bonds, if you're getting profit sharing, I mean, the list goes on, insurance, anything and everything adds up. And that is a very, very conservative number for the person out there.
That's amazing. Listen, we're going to take another quick break and we'll get back. And we've got three items to go. I think we're going to make it. So don't go away.
Hey.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial. I don't believe this is happening. Anger. Oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening. To a form of bargaining. How can I get out of this? To depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them.
And we're back with Linda Bice and Camille. And thank you for being so patient in all these questions. I think the next question I have is caregivers can lose. I already did that one. You mentioned adult children may be liable for paying all their parents' outstanding bills. Now that's a nasty thought. Explain that one.
For years, there have been something called FILIA laws on the books. 29 states still have them on the books. What that means is adult children can be liable for all their parents' expenses, especially medical expenses.
Really?
Yep. It's been on the books for years. They haven't implemented them in the past. However, we have something now called baby boomers that are getting older, and there's tons of them. So guess what? They started to implement them.
And did you know this, Linda?
Oh, yeah. We were responsible for my parents' bills and all that when they passed away. But
I'm
glad Trammell has already left.
Somehow?
No, we paid.
How much? How much was it?
My sister handled all that, but there was insurance and stuff like that, so it didn't affect any of us. Thank God that it didn't.
Yeah, but that was still money, insurance money. You could have kept the insurance money, so it did kind of affect you.
That's true, too. That's exactly right.
But most people, especially caregivers, most people do not know that these are even on the books, that these laws still exist.
And what
you call, basically, you check, first of all, to see if your state is one of the states that still has them on the books. If it does, you need to contact your congressman and you need to say, get them off the books. And you have about a 50-50 chance that it might affect you directly. And all I know is the ones that have gone before the courts, the children have lost. They've had to pay.
Really?
So, yes. And I really believe that the reason why they're starting to do that is simply because the adult senior population is getting to be so out of control. It is just predominating now, the healthcare.
So the only thing they can do is go to their congressman. There's no other way to get out of this.
Well, they can try to fight it, of course, but you really want to get it off the books if possible.
So they should do that now and not wait until their parents die or what have you, because it's
Exactly. People do not take advantage of Congress and notifying the people that matter, you know, their representatives, their senators, because unless you you squeak, you know, they say the squeaky door gets the grease. Unless you do some squeaking, nobody's going to know, and nobody's going to be able to fill your requirements or your needs if they don't know what they are. And you need to be persistent like anything else. And your voice has to be heard. And if for every person that lets the congressman know, there are so many in the silent majority that still think the same thing.
Yeah. Now, we've only covered like 14 of these items. How many more are in this book? The tip of the iceberg here.
Oh, my goodness. There
hundreds?
Is just, oh, just so much.
Okay, there so is just so they've much. Got to get this book. So how do we get this book in their hands?
Well, the good thing is if you get it directly from the website, which is Stress-Free Caregiver, that's singular, stressfreecaregiver.com. You get two wonderful bonuses there. First of all, you can go into the upper right-hand corner and you can download for free, doesn't cost you anything,
wow.
A whole list of free respite care places that you can obtain respite care for free.
Uh-huh.
Also, whenever you order the book from the website, you will automatically get a download called the Quick Start Guide for Caregivers. It is, I think, about 14 pages. And it will tell you just about everything that you need to know to get a handle on your life. And it doesn't matter if you are a seasoned caregiver or if you're a caregiver, a newbie, because you're going to look there and you're going to say, oh, I didn't do this. Oh, I didn't do this. Okay. Or I didn't check into that. And if you are a newbie, it's even better because you've got everything, you know, that you can check off and say, oh, I never thought of that. I need to do that.
And give me that website one more time.
Stressfreecaregiver.com. And if you order two or more copies, which many people do, because once you get it, you're going to want to share it with everybody, not because I wrote it, but because of the information that's there.
Sure.
You will not pay shipping and handling. Your shipping and handling is free. So you can order 10, 20 copies, and you'll never pay shipping.
And how much are they each copy?
$24.97.
Well, for a 250-page book, that is well worth it. That book is going to save you $750,000. So that is a wonderful investment. Someone says there's no more great investments on Wall Street. Right here, buddy. That's what you get. Linda, what have you learned today?
I can't even remember all that I have learned. But yes, now I've got a way to help these elderly that we deliver to. I have, have mercy. I can't even remember. I'm so glad I'm going to get one of these books because I need it bad. Speaking of caregiver burnout, my memory is like the first thing that's going. So.
You know what amazes me about you, Linda, is your plate is like full and overflowing, and every day you've got something going on, and you find time to go volunteer and do Meals on Wheels. That is like amazing. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but maybe you should learn how to say no sometimes, although that's a great thing that you're doing. But don't go overboard. If God gives you some extra window of time and you can go help, that's great. But you know, we don't want you to burn out.
I wanted to add something too that's also in the book that will help every caregiver out there. And that is the cooking meals. I don't know about you, Linda, but I know me. I never had time to cook. And if anybody ever came to the house and said, Camille, what can I do to help you? Always I said, could you make me something to eat? It was such a treat because I would go days with not eating a full meal. Days.
You take even a grilled cheese sandwich, wouldn't you?
I would take anything.
Well,
go ahead. My whole thing was,
you know,
maybe a hard-boiled egg or, you know, peanut butter and jelly or, you know, a cup of coffee, you know, that is it.
Yeah,
and what I have done in the book, which is, this is worth the price of the book too. Everything that I've learned to make your life simple, not only as a caregiver, but as a person making meals. The simpler it is to make a meal and get it on the table and get it in your mouth, the more you're going to do it, right? Yeah. So what I put is all these appliances, and there's just a handful of them, and they're not that expensive, that every person needs in their house to make their life easier. And you, Linda, you will love that section because all these things are, you can make things in 10 minutes or less.
Linda's like the perfect customer of this book.
Yes. I know, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a life changer.
It will. It really will. And you're just going to go and you're going to, I didn't know that. God, I didn't know that. Because that's what I thought. As I was researching the book after the fact, after my parents died, I got angrier and angrier and angrier because the more and more I found. And I go, holy cow, nobody knows this.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for volunteering to step in for Adrian. It was no accident because obviously you needed to hear this as well. How can someone get a hold of you? And you're a caregiver advocate. What are you like doing to help caregivers as well, besides doing care Meals on Wheels?
We work through our church. As a matter of fact, Trammell and I are going to be pirates next Thursday for a kids program that we're doing at church. And then my dream is to go in and just like we were talking about repairing these houses, we're going tomorrow to a lady's house and start painting and redoing every room in her house. So it's only going to be like once a week that I can go because tomorrow we only have a nurse for what, 4.5 hours. But
well, that's going to change now.
Yeah,
that's
my passion.
You're going to double that nurse time.
Quadruple it. We have a website that's called it's www.bicefamily.weebly.com, and that's www.bicefamily.weebly.com, and then of course our Facebook and then email thebicefamily@gmail.com.
Great. Well, thank you, girls, so much for coming on. It was a great show. Go ahead.
Dave, what I'd like to do for your listeners, too, is I would like to give them my personal email if they have any questions.
All right.
And my personal email is my name, Camille Superson, SUPERSON, the number 8 @gmail.
And spell Camille in case someone doesn't know how.
C-A-M. I-L-L-E.
And that's Superson with a S-O-N, not a S-U-N. S-O-N, the number 8 @gmail.com. Great. Linda, you want to give your email or how someone can get a hold of you?
It's, the Bice Family. That's T-H-E-B-Y-C-E family@gmail.com.
Great. And you already gave your website. So thank you so much, both of you. It was a great show. And I just want to remind everybody, we'll be here again next week, same time, same channel. And just a reminder, you need to go to my website and fill out that quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? And just for doing that, I'm going to send you a free digital copy of my book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. Great story about my wife's amazing stroke and how it changed her life for the better. Even though it was for the worse too, but you know, we take the lemons that life gives us, we turn into lemonade, and until we leave this earth and go to the next life, we're just learning here. So everyone listening, thank you again, and until next week, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.